This morning's first reading is from Exodus, and we may recall that Exodus, one of the main events in Exodus, is God leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in the wilderness. That's actually why the book has its name, because they're exiting. There's this exodus from Egypt into another place. The way that happens, we may recall, is that Moses was chosen by God to lead them. And so Moses opened up the Red Sea. Moses then led the people through the Red Sea to the other side into the wilderness. The Egyptian soldiers wanted to reclaim the Israelites as slaves again, so they're going after them. So they went into the Red Sea, into the divided Red Sea as well. And as they were in there, the Israelites had gotten out, and Moses then permitted the water to go back and covered over the Egyptians, and so they were killed. So their pursuers, who wanted to put them back into slavery, were actually all killed. And that is why, as I mentioned, why the book of Exodus is called Exodus, because this extraordinary exit of the Israelites out of slavery. Another main event in that book of Exodus is God giving to Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Those are two major events in the history of Israel, and both occurred in Exodus. Exodus, of course, includes other activities, but those are the two main ones. And we could say for the rest of Exodus, for most of us, Exodus is kind of obscure. We may not know very much about it. We may hear about it. We may not know really what's being discussed, what's being covered. And so a good example actually is today's passage. It's rather obscure. We may even wonder, why are we hearing about this encounter between the Israelites and the Amalekites? What's going on there? I want to give some background on what's going on in today's first reading, because it will help us all see that this passage actually is very important and ties in very well with what we hear at the beginning of our gospel, where Jesus wants to communicate or teach or emphasize the necessity for us to pray always and never grow weary. Jesus wants us to pray always and never grow weary. So our first reading actually is about a battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites. This battle took place just weeks after the Israelites had been freed from slavery and had passed through the Red Sea. Previously, I've mentioned, they were slaves in Egypt, so they had no experience of the wilderness that they're in right now. As slaves, they pretty much were limited to being in Egypt. They'd never been out of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness. This is a rugged, vast desert, and they'd never been there before. Another thing, having been slaves, they had no experience of battle. They'd never been in war before. They had no training as soldiers. In addition to these limitations, they had few weapons. Because they didn't know how to use weapons, they had few weapons. They were now in the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula. So they're out of Egypt. They're in the Sinai Peninsula. And this was getting close to the territory controlled by the Amalekites. Close to their territory. Not in their territory yet, but getting close. So the Amalekites pushed back. The Amalekites were aware of this huge group, about 600,000 Israelites, coming close to their own territory, and so they pushed back. The first thing they did was to conduct small raids on the stragglers of this group of the Israelites, of the people of God. And so as this group was moving, the Israelites were moving toward the back, where the elderly, the ill, poor families with many children, those who could not move as fast as the rest. And so the Amalekites were observing this, and so those are the ones that they were attacking and actually killing. And so they were not noble people. They didn't take the time to speak to the people to find out what their intentions were. They would have found out their intentions were peaceful. They were not coming to invade the Amalekites. In any case, they didn't do that. They attacked the weaker ones. The more they attacked the weaker ones of the Israelites, the more they realized these Israelites don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing, and they certainly don't know how to defend themselves, which means we can wipe them out. And so in today's passage, by the time we reach today's passage, the Amalekites are involved in a full-scale attack on Israel, and Israel is in a very perilous situation. They could be annihilated. They could be wiped out by the Amalekites. And so then, in this passage, two very important things happen, both under the direction of Moses. The first, Moses directs Joshua to pick men and engage the Amalekites, that is, to begin to defend the people, the first thing. The second thing, Moses says, I'm going to go up on the hilltop. He takes with him his brother Aaron and another named Hur. And on the hilltop, he has in his hand the staff of God, which God had given to him and changed into a powerful staff. And on that hilltop, Moses began to engage in intercessory prayer. Moses dedicated himself to praying for Joshua and the other Israelites in their battle against the Amalekites. This passage, then, for us is a great lesson. While obscure, the lesson is very, very significant for all of us. When we are threatened, when we are in need, we should pray as Moses did, and we should work as Joshua did. That is the lesson of today's first reading. Both are necessary, but of the two, prayer is more important. And the reason we see in this passage that so long as Moses was praying, as long as Moses was able to hold up his hands, his arms in prayer, the Israelites did well. But when he got tired and his hands and arms were let down to rest, the Israelites were being overcome. Another thing to observe is how how ill-equipped the Israelites were. And so from a human point of view, they were not ready to engage in this battle. They were not trained to do this. But nonetheless, they did succeed. And the reason why is because the power of God. Another thing why prayer is more important than action, although both are necessary, is when we pray, God will inspire us, inspire them as to what to do, because we have the intelligence and the guidance of God in prayer. This lesson is so important because if we stop and think about what comes easy for us, what's natural for us, what will we do first, is some kind of an action. We're made for action. And prayer, of course, isn't action, but it's a hard action because when we pray, we can oftentimes have a sense this is not very efficient or maybe this is useless. But prayer must happen because, as I mentioned, prayer is engaging in the power of God. And so independent of human advantage, the human situation, the power of God is more powerful than anything that we have or don't have. This first reading brings us to the teaching of Jesus in today's gospel, where Jesus says the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. If we stop and think about our personal situations, our lives, and our experience of prayer, it is so easy for us to become weary when it comes to prayer. Think of marriage situations where couples for weeks, months, years, maybe decades, encountering problems and difficulties and praying that whole time and maybe not seeing any changes or any kind of help. So easy for that couple or people seeing that couple to give up on prayer. The same thing goes with our children, whether our children are little children or adult children, whatever kind of children they are, We've all seen this, children going astray in this way or that. We pray for them. We wonder, does it make a difference? Is this going anywhere? It's easy for us to become weary and to give up. But Jesus tells us, pray always without becoming weary. Another is with our health. Invariably, as we get older and older, and if we have some kind of disease, some kind of injury, our health becomes a cross for us, a difficulty. So we pray. Perhaps as we pray, things get worse. Our health doesn't improve. It can be very easy for us to say, prayer's not helped. I give up on prayer. But Jesus says, no, pray always without becoming weary. Our finances as well. So necessary for us to survive, pay our mortgage, pay our bills, survive in this expensive world. We pray, and Jesus says, pray always without becoming weary. I also want to note something that's very interesting about the pose that we see Moses taking in today's first reading. He's on a hilltop. He's got his arms out, and he's exhausted. He looks very much like a man being crucified. Moses looks very much like Jesus on the cross. And we can now think about what Jesus on the cross did for us. The sins of the world, our own personal sins, the original sin of Adam and Eve, all the sins of the world, once we committed those, there's nothing for us human beings to do to escape from them. We could not escape. But the fact is, we have escaped, and the reason why is because the work of Jesus on the cross and the prayer of Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so there's a great example of humanly impossible, but because Jesus, our brother, engaged in prayer and work, we have the potential to have our sins taken away, our sins forgiven. In addition to seeing Jesus praying and working and how that brings about success, it's good to see other examples that involve us, human beings, prayer and work together in action. And the first observation I want to make is something going on this month, something that was declared by Pope Leo at the end of last month. He called all Catholics in the world, throughout the world, to engage in a rosary campaign that during the month of October, every day of this month, we would pray the rosary for the intentions of peace in the world. A prayer campaign. And so we can see on the prayer side, Pope Leo and the church. On the work side, we can see heads of state meeting to bring about peace plans. There has been this peace plan in Gaza in the last 2 weeks or so. It is a human agreement, so of course it has its imperfections. It is tenuous. Perhaps it's not going to work. But it does strike me as interesting that this impasse that was ongoing for the last 2 years, over 2 years, suddenly seems to be coming to some kind of a conclusion, some kind of a reconciliation with Pope Leo calling for prayer. And we're only halfway through the month. So we want to continue with this prayer campaign, praying the rosary every day, praying for world peace, and see what happens. Good things have happened already. Jesus tells us, keep on praying without becoming weary. Another thing I want to talk about is something Bishop Burbidge has asked us to engage in also during this month of October in getting ready for the elections this coming November in just a few short weeks. He wants us to pray, again prayer, but also act by fasting and making sure that we vote in this upcoming Commonwealth election. Elections are always a concern, so we should always be praying and voting. But there's a greater concern because there is this amendment, which has a specific name, Fundamental Right to Reproductive Freedom Amendment. It's also been called an abortion amendment because it would wipe out all the limits that have been put in place limiting abortion in this Commonwealth. and then enshrine abortion as a part of our Constitution. What the bishop is asking us is to prayerfully consider voting for pro-life legislatures so they will vote not in favor of this amendment but against it, because the ones we elect this coming November, in just a few weeks, the ones who are elected will be the ones ultimately who will decide, will this amendment be part of our Constitution or not? Will it be advanced or will it be rejected? He's asking us to pray for life-minded leaders. Life-minded leaders will recognize this is not good for our people, this is not good for our commonwealth, and not to pass this extreme amendment. As we do this, we realize that perhaps as we look at who we can vote for, there's maybe no good choices, but this is where fasting comes in. This is where prayer comes in, these two actions, prayer and fasting. It can bring about a change of heart. A person could change because of our prayer and fasting. Another activity that's going on that ties in with this connection between prayer and work, we have a diocesan week of service coming up November 8th through 16th, also initiated by Bishop Burbidge. He knows that we always do pray for the needs of the poor. He wants to make sure at the same time we're doing actions on their behalf. He knows that many places are doing these actions. He simply wants to encourage and include more people helping the poor. All the parishes are doing this. He wants even more members of our parishes to be involved. And so we'll be having two projects we do on a regular basis, we've done before, and he'd like us to participate. One of them is for us to give extra donations to our food pantry, which in turn feeds those who have no food in our area. We'll be doing an actual special event this coming Saturday. We'll be making laundry detergent for such individuals. So to make things cheaper for them so they don't have to spend a lot of money on detergent. We'll be making it here this coming Saturday in Hayden Hall in the morning for about 2 hours. Please come to that event. I'll be stopping in to say hello to everyone, to bless the work. But the main thing is gathering more food. The other thing that we're doing is something we've done in the past, and that is a tree rescue project. It involves removing deadly vines from the trees here on our property. These deadly vines, if they continue, will kill our trees. And by our trees being killed, that means there's less oxygen for all of us to breathe, whether we're rich or poor, whatever our status, less oxygen for all of us. So in keeping with something Pope Francis called for, care for our common home, taking care of our environment, we'll be doing that as well. I want to make a comment about these two things we'll be doing as a part of the diocesan-wide week of service. I just received a call, an email, a few days ago from the bishop's office saying that on November 16th, when this week of service ends, he'd like to be here at St. Philip to offer Mass, the 10:30 Mass. And of course, I said, yes, that would be a great honor. And the reason he wants to come here is that every year or two, he contacts each parish in the diocese and just says, hey, I'd like to come to your parish and offer Mass to be with your people. And of course, we always welcome him. And so November 16th, right when this diocesan week of service will be ending. Now, one thing that did occur to me, I'm wondering if maybe the reason he wants to come here is to check up on me. And this is where you need to help me. I need lots of participation in this food pantry and lots of help removing these vines off these trees. So if he's here for a friendly visit, we're good. But if he says, Father Donahue, how did you do with your food pantry? How did things go with removing vines? I can say, look at the trees. The people did that. Look at all this food. The people brought that. I'll be in good shape. So help me out. We're not sure what this visit is about. It could be friendly and could be kind of a evaluation. In any case, today we have an obscure passage from Exodus that at first we may listen to it, we may wonder, what's this about? What's going on? What does this have to do with me? The passage actually has a lot to do with each one of us. It has a great, great lesson. When we're confronted with danger, when confronted with some kind of need, we need to do two things. We need to pray and work, and especially pray, not give up praying. And Jesus tells us, he wants us to realize the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. Amen.